So greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this All Saints Sunday is going to be taken from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and we're going to read from chapter 11. We're going to read verses 32 through 44. And if you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 32, continuing in Jesus' name. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus was deeply moved again and came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you had sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who died came out, and his hands and feet were bound with the linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. And Father, this word speaks not of death, as we often think, but this word speaks of life. And even as we come here today, and even in the weakness of our mind, Father, sometimes we forget to pray for other individuals. So we're going to hijack this moment, and we're going to pray for Pastor Scott. We're going to pray for his family. We're going to pray for his grandmother, who is waiting for the hand of Christ and has been waiting for a few weeks now. We pray that you would give her comfort, that you would give her peace, that you would be with the family, that you would strengthen them and encourage them, and allow this time rallying around Grandma's bed to be a time of encouragement and healing. And Father, as brother goes down to share a message of hope with them, we pray that you would anoint his tongue and bless his travels. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So this text here is a very powerful text. We oftentimes think that this text talks about death only. But we remember the account. We remember that Jesus knows. So I want you for a moment to become good Lutherans. I want you to actually understand Trinity here. God knows exactly what's going on. God knows that Lazarus is ill, and that Lazarus is to the point of death. And God incarnate in Christ now is only a few miles away, and he actually tells his disciples, his followers, he says, you know what? Lazarus is ill. And then he has to get to the point of telling them, he's dead. When we hear those words as human beings in our fallenness, in our natural self, we have a tendency to feel defeated. Like death is the final call. From this earthly life, sure. From the struggles of the flesh, sure. From even the ailments that we deal with each and every day, sure. But it is just the beginning. It is just the beginning for eternity. And that's really what Brother Scott was reading to you. And I often use that Revelation text at every burial. It probably gets kind of a little annoying to, like, say, Neil Ahola and them that come do the funerals with me. But the reality of it is, there is a throng of people standing before the throne of God that is so huge that no man can number. We get excited when we see a service like this today. I bet there's probably around 170 people here. We get excited over that. So we're sitting there, we're counting. We're not really doing that. We do take an account. I don't want to lie about that. But the fact of it is, we get fired up, right? Or Judy and I, we just went to a Mercy Me concert, and it was overwhelming to see about 10,000 people in one stadium praising God. We love numbers. We might figure out how many are in the Roman Catholic faith, how many are in the Presbyterian faith, how many are in the Lutheran faith, how many are in our congregation. None of that means anything to God. None of it. He sent his son for the world. He sent his son for you and for me. He sent his son to give us eternal life. Not temporary fillings. Not bodies by sin that break down and wear out. He sent us to give us he sent him to give us victory. We are so blessed. And that's what we're here to see today. This message is about life. It's not about death. Death will take place unless Christ Jesus comes beforehand for each and every one of us. But the reality of it is, Jesus tells them, we're going to go there. We're going to go and see Lazarus. And so when he enters into the midst, you know, the household of Mary and Martha's is full. People are there mourning, and we may not understand this, but they actually, in this day and age, had professional mourners that would come upon death, and basically, I'd say for around 7 days, they would mourn the death of the loved one. And so they were really good at it. And they would turn around, and they would do this so that the family would have this support, right? And so when Jesus shows up in their midst, it's told to them in the house. And so anyways, now we have this opportunity where Mary is having a conversation. This is where we're coming in. And sometimes I think this isn't far from my heart. It's not far from my heart. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and she saw him, first thing she does is she falls at his feet. This can be out of exhaustion. This can be out of worship. This can be in many different things. But the reality of it is she's wiped. And any of you, and I know all of you, that went through this process, it is draining. It is draining. And our hearts go out to each and every one. Because we were never meant to die. We were made as eternal beings. But because of the fall, we now have entered into this realm of death. But God gave the answer. It is Christ Jesus. That we would inherit eternal life with new bodies. And so, when Mary comes, she sees him and she falls at his feet and she's saying to him, she's imploring him, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And there are times, I think, in our life where we can echo these same words. One of the hardest things that I went through when I had gone through the process of cancer and God has healed me. But the reality of, yes, he used the science of men. He used hospitals. I didn't just think about it and it was done. But the reality is I made a phone call to my own father, who now is in heaven. I called him and I said, Dad, I got some tough news. And he said, what's that, son? And I said, I got cancer. You may not think that's a hard phone call to make. It's not an easy one. The first one I had to make it to, and I didn't even tell her, was my wife. The doctor made me call her. He said he wouldn't do anything until I told her. And that was one of the toughest things I had to do. But when I told my dad that, his words were inspirational. They were powerful. He said, well, son, none of us get out of this life alive. That was a real cheery thought. But he did tell me that eternity is secure in Christ. That's what I want to share with you. These moments are tough. These memories are painful. There's a lot of great memories, a lot of joyful memories, but they make the others even a little more difficult. heaven is for real. God is alive. He is on his throne. And your loved one in the finished work of Jesus Christ is before that throne. And sometimes we want to say, but it could have been different. But we must always be able to say, God's will be done. God's will be done. Mary is very human. She's sharing her honest opinion, and I think that's okay with God. Even if you struggle with what you went through, be honest. Share it. Tell the Lord, and he will give you strength, and he will give you encouragement. And so she comes and says, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, it says he was actually deeply troubled by this. And I think there's a few reasons about this. And I'm not going to pretend to be a great theologian. I'll leave that for other guys. I'm just a simple boy that comes from Tapiola. You know? But the reality of it is, death has deceived us. We oftentimes think, this is it. And I get that. I get that immensely when I lost my stepfather, who's only 62 years old. And you know, something as stupid as something breaking on a vehicle, and I want to call him. The first few months, I wanted to give him a call and ask him what he thought about this. He didn't care about my Suburban anymore. Or driving along the road, and you think, well, I didn't have a real close relationship with my father, and I didn't. I loved my dad, but it wasn't. And then I hear Pretty Paper come on the radio. My dad sang that every Christmas, and I heard it. And actually, I found out my eyes do leak once in a while. But you know what? I have the memory. I have the memory. But I also know this, that my father is safe in the arms of Christ Jesus. My stepfather is safe in the arms of Jesus. And your loved one. And that's one thing that I can have encouragement even reading the list that we had today. These individuals, I personally knew every one of them. Not that my opinion matters. It doesn't. But I am assured by the testimony in their life that they knew Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a day of celebration also of the victory from this fallen world into a life of eternity and strength. Every one of us has a struggle. There's no way around it. But in eternity, there is no more struggle. And so, she is basically coming to this, and he sees all of this weeping going on. This deception of death, I think, is really what brings a lot of struggle, how it controls. So Jesus turns around and he actually asks a question. He says, where have you laid him? And it's almost like when I get the sense of this, like the way they answer, there's like a little bit of, come check it out. Come see. And we still have a lot of that up here in our lives, in the cemeteries and things like that. That we have a tendency to put a lot of stock on that. But our loved one is not there. Our loved ones that we remember today, they are before the throne of God. And this, to me, is so powerful for us to understand. I know it's a place of remembrance. I just went to New Hampshire. Don't think that I didn't go and see Judy's mom and dad, Charlie, my stepfather. We did. But when I go there and I come to the understanding of this was their life. And now, all the more glorious, their life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I loved my stepfather immensely to the point where I felt guilty at times that I may have loved him more than my own father. Sounds rough to say that. But I never want him to come back. I would be like King David, where he turns and he shares when he had a child with Bathsheba and that child was taken because of his disobedience. And I'm not saying that's what happened here, but with David. And David says very plainly, when the child passes. He gets up from the table, he cleans himself off, he stops his lamenting, and he says, "This I know. My son won't come to me, but I will go to him." Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe we will meet again. And that's what we rejoice in. So he sees this, and they come, and they say, "Come, Lord, check it out." Almost giving a little bit of homage to this place. And it says Jesus wept. And there's so many people that like to try to figure out why he was weeping. I don't have any brilliance in this either. But I think he feels the loss. My personal opinion, it's not scripture. I think he feels the loss. But I also think that he feels the presence of their sadness and also the deception that this is all life has to give. We have much more. There's much more. And so they turn around and they look at Jesus and they watch him in his empathy for these individuals. They watch him in his struggle, being fully human yet God. And that's one thing I think that also it gives us license. We can cry. We can weep. We can mourn properly for those that we love. But we also mourn with the understanding of hope and victory. And they say, "Look how he loved them. Look how he loved them." They marvel at that. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Your God, he loves you. He feels for you. Now, some of them turned around condescending, more or less, and they said, "Well, this is the individual that opened the eyes of the blind." We see it in chapter 9 with the man that was born blind. Couldn't he have healed him? Yes. Absolutely. But really, this is a great imagery for us to understand something that's very powerful. That not only can Jesus, or God the Father through Christ Jesus, can he not only take care of our earthly needs, whether it be feeding us, healing us, whatever it may be, or even have dominance over the weather, calming down the seas, doing whatever else, or great miracles that people see, but also he has victory over death. He is the victory over death. And so they turn around and they're saying, "Well, couldn't he have done this?" Well, the obvious answer is, yeah. But what would we learn? He's giving this for us for our encouragement. And so they turn around and they ask the question that Jesus, once again, was deeply moved again when he came to the tomb. Because oftentimes, this is where we stop. We stand there at the tomb thinking, this is it. Especially if we're not encouraged by the Spirit or by the Word. We can feel. And the reason I say this, for those that don't know Christ, it's a loss. It's a loss enough for us that know Christ. But when you go, even as you do and walk in these cemeteries, you see people leaving gifts and doing all these things. The one that makes me chuckle, not chuckle, is you go in there and you'll find a beer sitting on the tombstone. Like this person's going to get up and drink it. They're not there. The remembrance is there. Our love and our memories are moved being there. But they are much better off in the finished work of Jesus Christ. They are much better off, not saying than being with you. I'm saying they're not laying there dead in the ground. They are secured. Now, there's a lot of debates about that, soul sleep and things like that, and I'm not going to claim to have a big understanding on that. But the one thing that I will cling to, the one thing that I will acknowledge, is that when that one that was on the cross next to Jesus, he said, remember me when you come into paradise. And Jesus didn't say, 12 years from now, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. My brain can't go much farther than that. And I'm praying that you also don't wander too far from that, that you would take the promises of God and that you would hear, today your loved one is safe in the arms of Christ. They are. By his finished work. Now, it is important that people know him. It is important that people have faith in him. There is important for all of that. But that's the importance of preaching the gospel. That we would still enter into this world and proclaim this gospel, that people would have this hope that I know your loved ones have. But there's so many people that need to hear it. Otherwise, it's a cold tomb. It's not fear. We preach hope. There is life after this. And so when he comes there, he was very troubled again. And there, given this indication, there was a stone. And that's basically how it was, is there was a cave carved out, and they would take and roll a stone in there. One of the interesting things is there's actually, like when they roll a stone, there's a notch in the ground that the stone rolls into. So even at Jesus' resurrection, when they see the stone is moved away, it's very powerful because something strong had to move that stone up and out of the groove. But he tells them, take the stone away. Unheard of. When we think of death, we think of a corpse. Even in the time of the Israelites, this was contamination. We didn't mess around with it. And he says, roll away the stone. Martha comes up very boldly, and she's a sister to Lazarus, and says very straightforward, Lord, by now there is a strong stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Why 4 days? Well, in the Israelite understanding, they believe that a person was truly dead after 3 days. So he wasn't just sleeping, he wasn't just in a coma, he wasn't anything, he was truly dead. And so this is coming out to show us this is not just something that happened by mistake or anything like that. Lazarus was truly gone from this earth. But who is the author of life? Who is the giver of life? Who is the one that could overcome everything? So she turns around and makes a statement, but Jesus is bringing her back to faith. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? To trust him, to believe in him. And so it's very interesting, when he makes this statement, they act in faith. And they take and they roll a stone away. And Jesus now goes to a private prayer to his Father, but yet for us. He never doubted it. He knows. And so he says, Father, I know that you hear me. But yet for them, for the encouragement of everybody else, I said these things, that they would also know that you sent me. See, this is not to look at Mary. This is not to look at Martha or anyone else that rolled the stone away. This is that we would see Christ Jesus and him alone, that he is the author and finisher of our faith, that our loved ones that look to him by his word of promise have eternal life. It's a victory. And so, when they roll the stone away and he makes this prayer, he turns around and he just basically says, Lazarus, come on out. Now, I want you to think about this. Human beings can be kind of, you know, we have these thoughts about people and don't always say them. Well, when Jesus wept, the first thing they did is kind of turned it a little negative. Well, this guy that could heal the blind man, couldn't he have stopped this? Can you imagine a little bit of suspicion when he stands in front of a tomb of a man that's been gone for 4 days and he says, hey, come on out. But it's not about our faith. It's not about what Jesse can produce. It's about the faith that God gives us by the power of his Spirit in each and every one of our lives. And Jesus is the exemplification of that faith. And he turns around, he says, Lazarus, come on out. And it says, the man who died, he who was gone, came out. And it says, he was bound up, so he's hobbling out of there. And what does he say? Set him free. Set him free. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel message in here is that Christ Jesus has come to give us victory in this life. Doesn't matter what happens out there, we have victory in him, and that he has come not to bind us, but to set us free. Yes, what we've gone through over the year has been difficult. What we've gone through in the loss of loved ones is immensely difficult. We could never make light of it. But they are free. And by his strength and his spirit, you can rejoice in freedom too. We need to bring the gospel message to this world all the more. We get caught up in so many things that become so important. But really, in the end, do they truly matter? And I'm saying earthly. We do our part. We live our lives. We work our peace. We pay our bills. We do all of that stuff. But oftentimes, that can be the overwhelming consumption of our lives. We are much more than work. We are much more than bills. We are much more than 401ks. We're much more than Democrats. We're much more than Republicans. We might even be much more than an independent, for crying out loud. We are Christians, the children of God. And as the children of God, we have the ability, by the power of his Spirit and through his word, to live in peace in a world that's full of chaos and loss. Because in him, there is hope and victory. Brothers and sisters, come out of your tomb and be free, because you are a child of God who has been redeemed. May we remember that each and every day. Because, you know, Tuesday is going to be an interesting day. It is. And I'm sure it's all going to be over by midnight Tuesday night. That's sarcasm. But you know what does not change? Our God is on his throne. Christ Jesus has paid our debt. Our loved one is secure in him, and we are free. Enter into this world in boldness. Love one another. Encourage one another. And preach the word. For that's what truly matters. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word today. And Father, we thank you for eternal life. The resurrection of Lazarus was just an earthly resurrection. There is an eternal resurrection of which Christ Jesus was first and foremost. So, Father, we look to him and that finished work to understand and know that on Easter morning, when that tomb is empty, our loved one's tomb is empty and our tomb is empty. May we enter into this world in boldness. May we enter into this world in the power of your Spirit and bring forth your word. Sanctify us in the truth. It is the only truth. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.